This is The Evening Buzz, presented by Mikhail Attia.
The Witcher franchise has seen quite the, I would say, it has experienced somewhat of a golden age when Witcher 3 The Wild Hunt came out on during 2015, and it garnered such critical acclaim and won even Game of the Year award, and has brought the attention of filmmakers to this fantasy franchise that gamers knew and love. And so Netflix was a platform that was seeking to adapt video game franchises, perhaps one of the first to do it. And they came out with the Witcher series on Netflix. And I will say its premiere was positively received. There were some minor changes here and there, perhaps some drastic ones. But for what it was worth, there was something very special about the Witcher series. And it became like a ritual for big fans out there to, you know, tune in to the live action adaptation with every season. And because it just felt like there were some really perfect picks being made. Henry Cavill is the lead role of Witcher, them following through the storyline of the original books instead of the video game, because the video game kind of tells a story after the book series. So this would be the more canonical approach, the most canonical rendition of the books into live action. And for the most part, I'd say season one and two were pretty well received. But I think about when season three kind of came out, and before season three was released, we found ourselves with some really tragic news, and that was Henry Cavill stepping down from his lead role as The Witcher, and also him voicing his opinions about some of the issues with the showrunners and how they went about trying to adapt the books into live action, with a lot of rewrites, a lot of, I would say, questionable creative decisions that were made to tell the story. But the one that main factor is that they kind of strayed away from the source material, the books. And this is where even Henry Cavill had to admit to himself, he felt that the show was not what he was hoping to be, what it was shaping up to be, that it somewhat lost the identity of what people loved about the Witcher series, the Witcher books and that franchise. But Netflix has been very adamant about recasting the role for The Witcher and continuing the show to its finality. And so Netflix just made a big announcement about the Witcher series, and as big and as a me personally, as a big fan of the franchise, I feel like I'm excited for it, but I'm also a bit sad because we don't have Henry Cavill, so there's going to be a recast. This is probably going to be very hard for a lot of people. There's going to be mixed reactions, but they did confirm that the main characters, Geralt of Rivia, Yennefer, and Ciri, will be back for the fourth and fifth season. But here's the kicker. Season five is going to be filmed right after season four, which already has started production. And it is going to be the final season of this series. The plot hints that they dropped for season four sound pretty intense. You have the four main characters, Geralt, Yennefer, and Ciri are all separated, trying to reunite in a continent torn by war and filled with danger. Netflix teased that they will have to lead groups of misfits to survive and find each other again, which sounds like a wild ride, you know, a wild hunt, hint, hint. But yeah, the cast will be back together for season four, except for Henry Cavill, with the new addition being that Liam Hemsworth, who's taking over the role of Geralt from Geralt of Rivia from Henry Cavill. This is where I think there's a chance the show could flop because of this. This will make or break the show with the fan base, because if he can't, you know, even fill in the shoes or perhaps do a good job and how the story's gonna have to tell, you know, how they're gonna write their way into this recast, it's all about execution, I believe. And if it's not done right, they're gonna suffer. I think Netflix will suffer, and they will suffer through viewership. And the last thing you want from an audience that were perhaps really interested in your show is to become indifferent, where they just don't care, they become apathetic, and are not even going to bother watching the show to its entirety. So, it's uncertain what's going to happen, but I feel like it's definitely leaning more to a negative fate. I hate to be the cynical nihilist here, but I believe Netflix really had something special with The Witcher series, but its showrunners just couldn't help make too much. They couldn't help themselves from making creative decisions that didn't align with the core fan base and the core book source material. So, we'll have to wait and see. But until then, Henry Cavill is shaping up to be working on the Warhammer 40K universe with Amazon. So that's exciting. But again, a lot of these big announcements always have to come in with a little bit of doubt. You have to question these things. It's good to have that. To take things in face value means that you don't take the time to criticize these things and perhaps see the flaws for what it's worth. Now, it's okay to enjoy something nonchalantly. It's fine. Sometimes it's great to enjoy things mindlessly. But I think if you're someone who wants to have a little bit of standard to the things you watch, you have to be able to question and doubt these things. So Witcher 4, the question is, will Witcher Season 4 and Season 5 hold up to the previous seasons now with the biggest recast that's taken place on the series? Do let me know. Text me, 4215. It's a lot to do. Would love to hear from you guys. Let's take a short break. And coming up next, we're talking about Sony, who are reportedly in talks to join a bid to buy Paramount. Now, if this happens, hypothetically, the question is why? Let's find out right here on The Evening Buzz. Stay tuned.
Pulse 95.
Among the many streaming services that we have out there, such as Amazon Prime, Netflix, Apple TV Plus, it seems that one of the last major entertainment conglomerates in the industry that doesn't have a streaming service is Sony. Yes, you see, Sony is always been, it has its own production studios for movies, has production studios for video games, and even for music. They are a multi-billion dollar company. And it is odd that till now, they haven't found a way to provide a streaming service. They have a massive catalog of shows and movies that they could stream in their own exclusive platform. But I think what's happened is that Sony's been doing a little bit of window shopping, because perhaps they realize that it's not enough to have Sony, you know, Sony Pictures as the only catalog of shows and movies under their belt. They need more, because when it comes to streaming, any platform, it lives or dies based on the content that's within it. And you need to have a lot of content in your streaming service. I mean, you can see Netflix nowadays, who are pumping out their own exclusive productions for movies, shows, and animation. And this goes as well as to other big streaming services. They spend millions to billions of dollars creating their own exclusive content, because that exclusivity allows them to hopefully gain new subscribers to keep their platform alive and well. It's a constant rat race to get as many viewers and subscribers to your service. And so I think Sony apparently could be still looking to establish their own streaming service, but perhaps in a different way. There's reports now that Sony seems to be eyeing a major move in the entertainment industry, and it kind of got my attention as well. According to the New York Times, they're chatting with the investment firm Apollo Global Management about teaming up to acquire Paramount. Now, Paramount is a big, big entertainment conglomerate as well. Now, this is still not official yet. It's only in talks. But Sony's top boss was in talks with Apollo last week to figure out the details. So here's the gist. If the bid goes through, it means Paramount would essentially become a private company owned by Sony and Apollo. Sony would likely fold Paramount's operations into its own media empire and giving it a shiny new label to play with. And here's the thing about Paramount. It's not only just about movies. It's got a whole bundle of networks under its belt, such as Nickelodeon, Showtime, MTV, CBS, and not to mention their own streaming service. Yes, Paramount Plus. I think if Sony ends up getting Paramount, they will transform Paramount Plus into perhaps Sony Plus. Who knows? With all of its beloved IPs, anything from SpongeBob SquarePants, Top Gun, Yellowstone, and weirdly enough, Sonic the Hedgehog, and so much more. What's interesting is that Sony still, like I said, doesn't have its own streaming service like its competitors. So snapping up Paramount with its treasure trove of TV channels could be a really smart move. And Bloomberg points out that Sony's the odd one out among the big studios in this regard. It really is, because to this day, we're wondering why haven't they made their own streaming service? So yeah, who knows what's gonna happen, but the market is reacting to this. Paramount shares shot up by 12% in the after hours trading after this news broke out. So clearly investors are paying attention. It's a fascinating time in the entertainment world, and I can't wait to see how this could play out. A Sony exclusive streaming service. I do believe it, if it does happen, it could first launch in the US and also exclusively in Japan, and then find its way eventually to have a more worldwide global reach. Could this happen? If it does, I might as well start buying some stock shares on Paramount and Sony from now. But we'll see. Let's take a short break, and coming up next, we got more Sony news, but this one's a little bit upsetting. This comes from the PlayStation department, as LittleBigPlanet 3 and their servers are shutting down. And more than that, they're completely wiping out hundreds of thousands of PlayStation players' creations without any warning. This is a real damn shame. LittleBigPlanet was such a great game and had such an amazing community. To completely wipe that out of existence comes off as careless. Let's talk about it right here on the Evening Buzz. Stay tuned.
Pulse 95.
Nothing really breaks my heart than seeing an entire community just completely vanquished, gone. And this isn't any fan base or just any subculture, but specifically for me personally, it hurts the most when it comes to video games. And this is a problem that's been going on for many years, and that is big game companies shutting down servers to old multiplayer games. I understand why they do it. I understand that there's a certain cost to it, that they have to maintain those servers, because if they don't have the right amount of player base or enough people playing on those games and those multiplayer servers, they shut them down. Now, what's also been great at the same time is that there has been some really dedicated developers and just modders out there who have found ways to countermeasure games that have completely died out and have no servers by creating their own accessible, somewhat of like a botched up server that you could use, and it's completely for free for anybody who really wants to go ahead and do it. I wouldn't say all games have that kind of treatment. It depends on how dedicated and hardcore that fan base is that they're willing to do that sort of service. And now we have a really heartbreaking piece of news coming from PlayStation, as LittleBigPlanet 3 has been, the servers for it have been completely turned off on the PlayStation 4. And this decision follows a series of technical issues that initially led to the servers being temporarily shut down in January 2024, and now Sony has made the call to keep them offline for good, leaving players without access to online features, including sharing and accessing other players' creations. LittleBigPlanet 3 has been a very charming and creative piece of experience on the PlayStation for many years, on the PlayStation 3, making its way to the PS4, and Media Molecule, the studio behind it, has been a prominent studio under PlayStation's belt who advocate for player creation and community. This is an underlying core central philosophy they have when they make these games, is that you know, they make something fun and creative, but they give players the tools to also create something just as fun and creative and share it to the world out there, share it to a community that's always looking for those types of experiences. Their latest endeavor was Dreams, which I believe wasn't what they expected in terms of reception. And I still wonder to this day why this game in particular has not made its way to PC, just to make it more accessible and more convenient for a new audience out there. But Sony is never going to talk about these things unless they feel the need to. And they're going to do hush-hush moves like these, where they shut down an entire game server. And for all the hundreds of thousands of player creations that were on LittleBigPlanet 3, are gone indefinitely. Now, this impact of the decision is deeply felt by the community, with even one player expressing their sorrow over the loss of years worth of user-generated content, including their childhood creations. The sentiment is shared by many, and as the servers were not just a platform for gameplay, but also it was kind of like a repository of memories and creativity for players worldwide. Now, sadly, the closure of the online servers for older games is not an isolated incident. This happens all the time. It's not only from PlayStation. Nintendo and Xbox even discontinue some of their online multiplayer games, you know, throughout the years. And also other big third-party companies like Ubisoft, Rockstar, EA, they all do this. So it's a shame to see something like this completely gone, because it wipes away an entire legacy, an entire, you know, a community of creations that are just no longer accessible. But I have hope that there's probably a dedicated team out there who could find a way to revive this game without perhaps the consent of Sony, to give it a second life, a second chance, as there's been many attempts for other games that have dead multiplayer servers that have been revived. And they, even though the player base is small, that player base is dedicated and it's passionate, and they love those games to death, that they will do anything to keep them alive. I just hope that game companies could adhere to that sort of preservation philosophy that could go very well in the long run. But multiplayer games are short-term if they don't have the right amount of players, and that's just a fact. That's just business. It's not personal. So I think even though we mourn the loss of LittleBigPlanet 3, I think we can remember all the wonderful memories we've had with it throughout the years. And with that, leaving on a somewhat stoic note, it's time to wrap it up here on the Evening Buzz. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you guys tomorrow from 8 till 9 p.m. Keeping you guys busy and entertained all throughout the week and shift, only here on Pulse 95. This is Mikhail Atia signing out. Have a good one.
This is Pulse 95. Tune in live every Friday to Monday from 8 p.m.